To the Middle East for you now. The United States and Iran have exchanged military strikes for a second night as hopes of a diplomatic solution to the war continue to fade. The US says it's hit 90 targets across Iran, with the country's health ministry reporting that 14 people have been killed in the past 2 days. Several Gulf nations have also reported Iranian attacks, including Qatar, which has been acting as a mediator in the negotiations between the US and Iran. Donald Trump says Iran has been in touch about renegotiating a peace deal after the US president had earlier called Iranian leaders scum and declared that the ceasefire was over. Dr. Badr Al-Saif is a professor at Kuwait University and associate fellow at Chatham House. He spoke to me earlier from Kuwait City. Dr. Al-Saif, Iran has attacked a number of Gulf states in the past 48 hours. Has there been much disruption or damage in Kuwait?
Iran has been attacking the Gulf states more than any other part of the Middle East for the past few months, unfortunately, Sally. We've sustained over 7,000 attacks across the Gulf states since the beginning of the conflict in late February, even when the Gulf states were not part of the war. And in the last 2 days alone, Kuwait sustained 29 distinct attacks between missiles, drones, and cruise missiles and what have you. And, you know, our resolve is strong. Life has continued as normal. All of them were intercepted. There was some debris here and there. There was one minor injury that's being treated as we speak. But life continues as normal. The airport is open to business. People are going to work. There hasn't been any backup measures. We've grown accustomed to this to a point in which I hope we don't get too much accustomed to this, because we need to focus on getting this resolved and on putting the Gulf out of this, because it's the war between Iran and the U.S. The claim that they're attacking U.S. military assets in the Gulf states really doesn't stand, because these are Gulf sovereign assets, which host many groups of people, including Australians, by the way, across the Gulf. So that misnomer about the U.S. role here is quite unfortunate. Iran, and I'll end on this note, Iran is best served if it focuses on the main culprit that's been attacking it, which is the U.S. And they have a lot of U.S. aircraft carriers carrying these attacks. So if anything, they can go and strike them instead of putting their anger on the Gulf states.
Is there a sense of frustration in Kuwait that Iran and U.S. have renewed hostilities now?
The sense of frustration should be guided at the whole prospect of pulling in the Gulf into a war that was not of its choosing, a war that it called very hard to avert earlier on, before the war started, as we did, and, you know, to the Americans, to the Iranians. And we share the neighborhood, we share the region. Our voices need to be taken into account. And this wasn't the case when the war was started by the Americans and the Israelis. And unfortunately, as we're going through this tenuous ceasefire, our voices are not fully out there being put into perspective with the Americans, into terms of putting, you know, of pushing through what needs to be done to reach a stage of calm.
How important is a sense of security for the Gulf's political and economic future?
Well, look, security is an important aspect, and I take it usually at its widest range. I mean, when we're thinking security, people think defense and military, economic, which rightly so, but you can't separate it from human security. The ability to live in dignity and honor, access to shelter, food, health, and access to basic goods, which the region is known not only for oil and gas, but for a lot of the downstream that feeds the world, that brings in the fertilizers. So that is put at jeopardy if the Strait of Hormuz remains a cat and mouse game in the hands of the U.S. and the Iranians. Both sides need to understand that there is more at stake beyond the interests of the region even. It's a public good that needs to be safeguarded.
What do you make of President Trump's language, particularly in the past 48 hours? He's been very strong in his comments about the Iranian leadership, and also saying the ceasefire is over. But a few hours later, he's saying that he thinks Iran wants to make a deal. What do you make of all of that?
The same old, Sally. We've seen the same behavior from Mr. Trump early on. He claims that this is part of his art of the deal, And that's how he tries to get, you know, certain deals through, though I would say it hasn't been delivering as much when it comes to this war. So I would park those inflammatory statements aside and try to focus on a real deal. And if there were to be any anger statements posited, it should be not only at the Iranians and their behavior, but also at his own team for striking such a vague memorandum of misunderstanding, which hasn't had a clear path forward on how all these different issues need to be resolved.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Dr. Badr Al-Saif. As we've said, Gulf states have repeatedly come under attack during this conflict. We know that Qatar has been acting as a mediator in talks. What message does it send that Iran has attacked Qatar again?
Well, the attack today is interesting because Iran claims it, but the other party doesn't claim it as much. And it speaks to the careful escalation, if it did take place, between the Americans and the Iranians, because both sides have been slowly increasing the scope of their attacks. U.S. Military forces have usually focused on the southern part of Iran, closer to the Strait of Hormuz. And the Iranians, on the other hand, have been focused on Kuwait and Bahrain in the past few incidents. What happened in the last 24 hours is interesting in that the U.S. has increased the scope of attacks across the country, not only in the south. And Iran reciprocated, it seems, with attacking not only Bahrain and Kuwait, but Jordan as well. That's been confirmed. And they intercepted all 8 missiles. But Qatar, it claims that it also hit an early warning center in Qatar, but we didn't hear the same from the Qataris.
Dr. Badr Al-Saif, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Sally.